The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 17th, 2008, in Christ Church, New Zealand.
So today, we are reading from the supremely nectarian Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 5, chapter number 3, Rishabhadev's appearance, text number 15.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yat uhavava tavapunaradabdrakartar iha samahutastratrartha diyang madanam nas tadyadeva helanam deva devarhasi samyena Sarvan prativodum avidusham.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son when performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Report. The priests were certainly unhappy to have called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha for such an insignificant reason. A pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The Lord is engaged in various activities, and the pure devotee does not want to see him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy, and when the Lord is pleased, he can see him face to face. The Lord is unseen even by demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. By calling on the Supreme Lord, the priests of Nabi Maharaj proved themselves unintelligent. Nonetheless, the Lord came out of his causeless mercy. All of them, therefore, wanted to be excused by the Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain is not approved by authorities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, Chaturvidha Vajante Mang Jana Sukriti Norajuna Arto Jyagyasar Artarti Gyanicha Bharatarshava. O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Initiation into bhakti begins when one is in a distressed condition or in want of money, or when one is inquisitive to understand the Absolute Truth. Nonetheless, people who approach the Supreme Lord in this way are not actually devotees. They are accepted as pious, sukritina, due to their inquiring about the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing the various activities and engagements of the Lord, such people unnecessarily disturb the Lord for material gain. However, the Lord is so kind that even though disturbed, he fulfills the desires of such beggars. The pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. He has no motive behind his worship. He is not conducted by the influence of maya in the form of karma or jnana. The pure devotee is always prepared to execute the order of the Lord without personal consideration. The Ritvija, the priest at the sacrifice, knew very well the distinction between karma and bhakti. And because they considered themselves under the influence of karma, fruit of activity, they begged the Lord's pardon. They knew that the Lord had been invited to come for some paltry reason.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
This reminds me when I was in Atlanta with Srila Prabhupada. He told us how the thief is praying to Krishna. Do you please bless me, my dear Lord, I can successfully rob this house. And the house owner, he is praying, my dear Lord, please protect my house from the thieves. So Prabhupada said, God is perplexed. Actually, Krishna is so expert that he's able to take care of everyone. But this is not how we should approach the Lord. You will get your desire fulfilled by the Lord's grace, but you won't get Krishna. What good is a broken beer bottle when you can get a rare gem? Dhruva Maharaj has given us this nice simile. I was searching for a broken piece of glass, but now I have achieved the rarest gem. This is why it's actually recommended, and Prabhupada has stated one place, not to make your own prayers, but to make the prayers of the realized soul. Because we have a tendency to pray for material things. Of course, once we have studied and understood the mood of the great acharya, then we can make our prayers in that line. If we pray for what you pray for is what you get. So if we cultivate the mood of pure bhakti, we will get pure bhakti in due course. If we never cultivate that mood, we're always saying, this, give me that, give me. We may get those things, but we'll never get pure bhakti. There was one old woman, Prabhupada explains this story, there was one old woman wandering in the forest with a burden of sticks. She was apparently gathering some firewood. So she had this heavy burden, and she just couldn't handle it anymore. She had dropped, fell off her shoulders. She went, Krishna, Krishna. And Krishna actually appeared to this woman. He said, yes. She said, can you help me put the sticks back on my shoulder? You see. So this is called less intelligent position, you see. Krishna can give you himself. Ananyaschintayantamang yejana paryapasate teishang nityabhiyuktanam yogacemam vaham yaham. You see, Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. You see, so you don't really need to beg Krishna for little trinkets. You know, can you give me some pocket change? to catch the bus, you see. We don't have to nickel and deal with Krishna on the nickel and dime level, you see. That's foolish. We should ask for Krishna himself, you see. But my dear Lord, there's only one thing that will satisfy me, and that's you. And I know the only way I can get you is I have to fully give myself to you, you see. So that's my desire, my Lord. I simply want you, you see. So if that person who is the owner and controller of everything that exists becomes your personal property by dint of your complete surrender, total, absolute surrender at his lotus feet, you can never be wanting for anything, not even for a second. You see? Because he guarantees for those who worship me with exclusive devotion. In fact, in one lecture, you know, the verse says, I carry what they lack, but Prabhupada, it's nice the way he expands on these verses in his lectures. In one lecture he said, I personally delivered to their home, home delivery service. Whatever you're lacking, you see. Krishna comes and ringing your doorbell, here it is, you see. Home delivery service, Prabhupada. So, we really have nothing to try to cultivate except for pure devotion. We have a wonderful program last night, a home program. We simply studied the six characteristics of pure devotional service in depth. We spent the whole time just discussing these six characteristics of pure devotional service. This is what is really worth aiming for. Since we're doing devotional service anyway, right? Why not do it why not fine-tune our consciousness so we get the most results out of it? My dad used to say, son, if you can do a job, do it right or don't do it at all. So if we're going to do bhakti, you see, why not go for it? You see, doing it right means to cultivate the mood of pure devotional service. As soon as we do that, then everything becomes so easy. It really becomes easy. Just like if the butter is frozen out of the deep freezer, you see, you try to cut it with a knife, it's very difficult. But if that butter is soft, then your knife just goes right through it, you see. So, if our heart is hard, we're not cultivating the pure bhakti mood, but somehow we're here engaged in devotional service, our service will be difficult. It'll be difficult to do our service. We won't feel inspired. We won't feel enlivened. And that's no fun, dragging ourselves through a day of devotional service. You see. But if we say, all right, let me be intelligent about this human form of life, you see. I've gotten it after transmigrating through millions and millions of forms from the higher planets, the lower planets, Brahmanda, Ramite, Konya, Bhagyavanji. Let me take full advantage of this rare, rare, extremely rare opportunity that I have gotten to cultivate pure devotional service. And just say, okay, Krishna, I want to be your pure devotee. Please bless me that I can do that. All we have to do is pray to Krishna sincerely in that way. My dear Lord, I understand that my only happiness is to take complete shelter of your lotus feet in a mood of pure devotion. So, my dear Lord, I'm begging you, please help me enter into that mood of pure devotion. As soon as we put our energy in that direction, then all sorts of amazing miracles will happen in our life. That's a fact. All you have to do is pray for pure devotional service. And that's the mood of chanting our japa, actually. We chant our rounds. We're begging for pure devotional service. Not, when can I get these done, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We're actually begging for pure devotional service. So if we, in this mood, if we will carry on our activities, we won't fall into the trap and be embarrassed. Of course, it was pretty nice, these sages here. I mean, they got Krishna's darshan. And they were a little embarrassed. Well, we didn't really, we're sorry we disturbed you, Lord, but you know, we asked you for some paltry thing, with our negligible sacrifice. Sorry, but no, we the desire to see the Lord is actually very wonderful, but we shouldn't bother him for these sort of things like putting sticks back on our shoulder. We should cultivate the mood of pure devotional service. And then Krishna will be very, very happy to reveal himself to us. As I've been describing the last few days, I just found this quote the other day when I was in Australia, where Prabhupada is saying that one should desire to see Krishna and talk with Krishna by qualifying oneself by devotional service, not by sahaja sort of program, but qualifying by devotional service. So the desire to see Krishna and experience Krishna face to face, to be able to speak with Krishna, have Krishna answer questions, etc. As Prabhupada told me that Krishna would. That's a spiritual desire. And that is attained by those persons who completely absorb themselves in pure devotional service. So in that sort of mentality, the desire to see the Lord is very good. And we have even a prayer, Jagannatha Shami Nayana Bhattagami Bhavatu. We're actually praying that Krishna, please. Actually, it's the very first words I heard from Prabhupada's lotus mouth. I had, you know, heard his recordings, I'd read his teachings, I heard about what he was saying, etc., etc. But when I actually came into his physical presence, the very first words I heard, Jagannatha Shami Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. My dear Lord, Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. Prabhupada. So that is a bona fide prayer, but not for, you know, for some material thing. In other words, as Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God will want to see you. You see? That's the mood. Try to serve with such a pure, unmotivated mentality, attitude, that Krishna will become very, very pleased to reveal himself. Not that we try to drag him down to for some, you know, some selfish purpose of our own. And these sages are lamenting. So in this way, we are encouraged by Srila Prabhupada and all the great acharyas, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta, to follow this pathway that they are walking on, you see. They're inviting us to come on this pathway with us. These great Mahajanas, Svayambhur, Nadara, Shambhu, Pralado, Janako, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Pralado, Janako, Bhishmo, Balir, Vayasakirviyam. These great sages, these great Mahajanas are inviting us. Come on, join this pathway with us. You see, come on this pathway of pure bhakti. Don't rot in this material existence. So, we should accept their invitation and travel that path of pure bhakti. Fly Hare Krishna, and we'll get you there on time. This mantra will take us. We take shelter of this Hare Krishna mantra at least 16 rounds daily, you see. This mantra will carry us back to the transcendental abode of Krishna, where his inconceivable pastimes are going on at every minute, in unlimited varieties of ways, and we can participate in those pastimes. All we have to do is take shelter of the magic mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today's class will be very short, because we are not, of course we are flying Hare Krishna, but we are also flying Qantas this morning, making it a short class today. And get to the airport, but I can ask if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu.
In the beginning, you mentioned, you know, if we're going to do something, do it properly. a wife, etc. And actually deriving a taste from the practice of Krishna consciousness and acting in such a way that Krishna will see us, not that we're trying to see Krishna. And again, the Bhagavatam is such an important part of that. Daily hearing and reading of the Bhagavatam is one of the most important processes of making, of having Krishna extend.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
From that knowledge we gain from the Bhagavatam, we derive a taste for performing service.
Absolutely.
We're directly associating with Srila Prabhupada through his books.
Indeed.
And we actually begin to realize that. It's not something that just comes out of people's lips. We're directly associating with Srila Prabhupada.
And all the previous acharyas, yeah. That's right.
Otherwise we tend to fall into the often prevalent trap of form over substance.
Of what?
Form over substance.
Form over substance.
You know, I will only hear from particular persons because they're obviously advanced or they have titles. And it goes on like that. But we're not, if we don't read enough, if we don't hear enough of this and take that association through the Prabhupada, we don't get the deeper insight.
It's very important. The Bhagavatam is telling us, Nashta Praishva Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It means you should be constantly serving the Bhagavatam. In the book form and in the person form. Those persons who embody the Bhagavatam, spiritual masters, and advanced Vaishnavas. We are meant to serve the advanced Vaishnavas who embody the Bhagavatam by their very lives and the Bhagavatam both. That is the dual meaning of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So we are meant to be always. So this one hour a morning, this is minimization of Bhagavatam study. Actually, as a young brahmachari, I was very addicted to studying. They gave me one service, and I was so busy I had practically no time to study. In those days everybody was out on book distribution, and they gave me the whole temple by myself. I had to man the whole temple, offer all the aartis, cook the offerings, transfer the plates, you know, clean, answer the phone, answer the door. It was incredible. Cooked the burfi. I mean, everything was on, the whole temple was on my shoulders all day long, every day. Everybody was out distributing books. And that way I was facilitating everybody else to distribute books by doing all the other services myself. And I was thinking, oh, I want to read, I want to read, I want to read. Where's the time to study? But I had one tape, Prabhupada giving a lecture. I didn't have many, I just had one, I think. But I heard that tape hundreds of times. And so many things in that tape became so realized. And one thing Prabhupada said, we said one should always be engaged in study. And here I was with no time to read. And then he also said, always be engaged in doing service. I was thinking, well, how you can do both things simultaneously? Prabhupada is ordering me to always be studying his books. And he's ordering me to always be doing service. But then I realized, actually, you can do both things simultaneously. Just like when you study chemistry, you go to the lecture and you go to the lab. And both are essential parts of the course. When you're in the lecture, you're thinking about what you're going to do in the lab. And you're in the lab, you're thinking about what you heard in the lecture. So they all tie together. So the lecture is the studying, and the practical service is the laboratory. So the whole thing ties together. That means we should hear very deeply the words of the Bhagavatam, and we say, oh, now it's time to go to the lab and put into practice what I just read. And while we're doing that, we can remember the things we read and see everything in the light of the Bhagavatam throughout the day when I'm offering an arti, if I'm doing some cleaning, I'm doing some book distribution, whatever I'm doing, raising my children, whatever I'm doing, I can see that in the light of the Bhagavatam that I studied that morning very intensely. So in this way, you can actually be studying 24 hours a day. But to actually sit down and hear with great attention is an essential aspect of that. It's essential. And Prabhupada instituted that, as I mentioned yesterday, I think. You know, boil the milk until it becomes thick and sweet. For that purpose, he introduced the Bhagavatam class. So it's a very, very essential thing. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, you see. Nasta Praishva Bhadreshu, Nityam Bhagavata, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke, Bhakti Ravati Naishtaki. All that is inauspicious in the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. What does that mean, almost to nil? I thought it would become completely destroyed, someone could ask. What does it mean, destroyed almost to nil? But then it says, and thus irrevocable service, and thus transcendental service is established as an irrevocable fact. So what is spoken of here in the end of that verse is, the first step is the mode of goodness. Let's see, where it's destroyed almost to nil. And then from there you go to the next stage where pure devotional service is established as an irrevocable fact, which is Shuddha Sattva. So by hearing the Bhagavatam, the first thing that happens is you become sattvic. You become situated in the mode of goodness. And then if you continue going deeper and deeper into the mood of the Bhagavatam, following the teachings of the Bhagavatam, then you go beyond the mode of goodness to where it's an irrevocable fact. You see, in the mode of goodness, it can still be revoked. You can still fall back from the mode of goodness. But when you achieve pure bhakti, you see, then it's irrevocable. So that verse describes, by hearing the Bhagavatam, first you come to sattva guna, and then you go to shuddha sattva. But even sattva guna is pretty ecstatic. And after you've been tortured by rajaguna and tamaguna for millions of lifetimes, sattva guna is pretty ecstatic. Pretty ecstatic. So even in the beginning, you can be very, very enlivened. Wow! But then you have to practice it. That's the key. You see. We've seen people get enlivened by the Bhagavatam, but they don't want to do any service. They lose the taste after a while. But if you actually say, okay, I'm now going to put it into practice also. I'm going to apply these teachings. Whatever I read here, I'm going to embrace this as my life and soul, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to breathe it. I'm going to eat it, sleep it, everything, Bhagavatam. You see? Then you become very, very solidly situated, and no arrows of Cupid will divert your mind away from those beautiful lotus feet of Shamsundar. Cupid's such a little rascal, you know. Those little arrows, ding, 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 ding. So many devotees have been victimized by those arrows, you know. That little rascal Cupid. But if you become fixed in this Krishna consciousness, Cupid won't bother wasting his arrows on you. He'll go to the next door neighbor, you know, he has a better target, you know. Won't bother you. So I think we better wrap it up here and get ready to head out for the airport. Well, we really want to thank you all. You've just been wonderful to us. And please forgive any offenses or rudeness we may have exhibited. But we're very, very happy with the wonderful, loving way you received us. And we pray that you'll allow us to someday again come and get your association. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Antarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. ISKCON Christ Church Vaishnavas ki jai.